What's going on, guys? Welcome to God, good Lord Jesus. This is, I believe, episode 80. Oh my God, I hate it when it 87. I'm calling on craft beer. My name is Luke. Obviously, you all know who I am. And I got a lot to talk about, honestly, because this has been it's been a pretty interesting week, to say the least. So first things first, I want to give a massive shout out to Bentwater Brewing in Lynn, Massachusetts. So for those of you that follow the page, you know for a fact that I bought a 4-pack of Double Thunder Funk, which is their double West Coast style IPA from Total Wine, and it was stale. Well, Rebecca from Bentwater reached out to me on IG and she said, dude, I'm sorry, please, you know, let me know what we can do, if I could send you some beer. I was like, shoot, I ain't turning that down. So she sent me out a 6-pack of three double thunder funks, an original Thunder Funk, a sluice juice, and a super sluice, which is their double version of sluice juice, which are there. And those are basically all the beers that are available here locally. The oldest ones that I got in terms of canning date were the Double Thunder Funks. They were all canned on 8/19, still fantastic. Everything else was like the 20th or newer. So they were basically brand new beers. I actually cracked open the Super Sluice, which is the double sluice juice. This one is an 8% New England IPA. They talk about Super Sluice is the amplified powered up version of our popular New England IPA sluice juice, a juicy New England double IPA that we spent more than a year developing and perfecting. This beer promises to bring a super big, bold flavor experience. So with you on here, I'm going to go ahead and give it its first. So it smells citrusy. Good. It's a hitter for sure. I'm enjoying it. It's smooth. Pretty citrus forward. The haze is beautiful. It's a little bit sweeter, which is funny. That always kind of goes with the higher ABV beer. It's a little bit sweeter than the sluice juice, the regular one. But I'm liking it, and I'll continue to talk about it as we go through. But I want to go through the three beers that I've had from them so far. So the first one, obviously on the list, was the Double Thunder Funk. I had to jump into the big one first. 9.2%. It's a double IPA, West Coast style. And I, after getting these fresh ones from Bentwater directly, I rated a 4.5 on Untappd. So these guys are out of Lynn, Massachusetts. Double Thunder Funk is the big bad sibling of our best-selling beer, Thunder Funk. To make it, we took our original Thunder Funk recipe and made everything bigger. More grain, more hops, resulting in more power and more flavor. Despite clocking in at 9.2% ABV, this monster IPA is surprisingly subtle in its strength, yet delivers intense hop aroma and flavor. So here's my take on Double Thunder Funk. So nice and bitter, exactly how I like my West Coast IPA. Citrus forward with a light malt that masks the 9.2% ABV. I am a fan. Loved it. It is everything you would expect from a big, malty West Coast style IPA. Now, there are two versions of West Coast style IPAs. There's something that's more traditional that has like that piney flavor that we all look for in a West Coast. And then there's a malty, malt forward version. And this was obviously more a malt forward version, but absolutely fantastic. Nice and clear, a little bit of bitterness, smooth. Citrus forward, and then the malt just masks that overall 9.2% ABV. So it's a very, very damn good beer. I really enjoyed it. And then let's jump into sluice juice. So sluice juice is a 6.5% single IPA. I rated a 4.2 out of 5 on Untappd. And this is their rendition. Sluice juice is a New England IPA made with huge doses of Galaxy, Motika, Wemi, Simcoe, and Citra hops. Juicy and hazy, this beer is packed with dank aromatics of orange, tangerine, and lime peel. my review, 4.2, and it's across the board, it's a 3.87, so I'm a little high on it, but I love it. Great haze, mildly dank, citrus forward with a slight candied melon flavor on the back end, very crushable, enjoyed thoroughly. So I've yet to be disappointed with a Bentwater Brewing beer until we got to Thunderfunk. And Thunderfunk, it's all right. Let me just explain. Let's go. Thunderfunk is the single version of Double Thunderfunk. And it's a brewed with four hop varieties and three different malts. Thunderfunk pours a hazy orange color with a thick head. Snows offers mango, citrus, pine, and a touch of honey. Juicy hops supported by a soft malt backbone deliver mango, passion fruit, slight biscuit, and a lingering citrus bitterness. I didn't get any of that. And obviously everybody's flavor profiles are different. So for me, I rated a 3.5 out of 5. I was like, not my favorite. It's a little malt forward to me. The honey is prominent and kicks me for a loop flavor-wise. Not a bad beer. It's a little funkier than I expected, I guess. I didn't get a lot of fruit. I didn't get, you know, a lot of what they were saying in regards to the beer. You know, you go and you look at the, you know, you talk about, they're talking about mango, passion fruit, biscuit, citrus bitterness. I didn't get a lot of that. I honestly got heavy, heavy on the malt and a honey sweetness that just put it in a different realm for me. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't my cup of tea. You know, I'm more of a, you know, I prefer either an IPA to be bitter or to have more of a like tropical fruit forward, like flavor profile. And this didn't have either for me. It was kind of a weird array of malt and honey. I don't know. It kind of reminded me of a less alcoholic version of Honey Love from Due South. But obviously not, you know, Honey Love is 9.5%. This is 7.2, so it wasn't quite as boozy. But it was very similar to that. And it just didn't hit me in the West Coast style IPA category. So it was a little funky, but I would definitely encourage you to try it. Everybody's taste buds are different. So it wasn't a bad beer. It just, the flavor profile didn't quite work out for me. And it might just be my taste buds. I mean, everybody's taste buds are a little bit different. But getting back into Super Sluice over here, I'm going to take another sip. Very citrusy. It's getting a little bit sweeter as it's gotten a little bit warmer. Like, it's not quite ice cold like it was. I mean, I had a frosted glass and took it right out of the fridge. Yeah, I'm definitely getting a little bit of pineapple. It's so hard with fruits, man, because like they'll call it like passion fruit and guava and this and that. I think guava is probably the only fruit flavor that's prominent for me, like as far as my taste buds are concerned. Usually I have a really hard time distinguishing between like mango, melon, pineapple, you know, citrus just kind of blends together. It could be orange, it could be lime, it could be a whole lot of different things, but it's delicious. I mean, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And so now coming up this weekend on the Saturday, the 26th, I will actually be meeting up with Thomas at King Fox Brewing, and we'll be doing a live show from the brewery. We'll get an opportunity to sit down with the owner and do a little interview and have a conversation. And they do not have a tap room, so we'll see kind of how things go, you know, in terms of, you know, beers that we'll be able to sample and stuff like that. And hopefully we have a really good time. We're able to hang out and just enjoy, you know, the atmosphere. I do intend on hitting another brewery on Saturday. So that will be probably the first half of the show. And then the second half of the show will probably be the me and Thomas meeting up with the owner at King Fox. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know, I don't want to put too much out there, but obviously if you guys have listened to the show, you know that Thomas has been, you know, and I'm giving you an update on Thomas only because those of you that care, and I care because he's my friend, we didn't end on bad terms or anything like that. We just chose, you know, to go separate directions, which is fine. he's doing really well. He's in ATL. He's hanging out with his girlfriend, and he's enjoying life, man. And he's actually, he hit a Terrapins tap room yesterday. He sent me a picture of that. And then he's at Evan Rude today. And Evan Ride, I think, is the name of the brewery that he hit me up from. And he's at, and he was actually at another brewery. So it was Eventide Brewing. And then I think they're, and then at Elsewhere Brewing. So he's definitely hitting up the brewers and sending out picks. So, and I want everybody to know, more so than anything, that me and Thomas are really good friends. We're not, you know, we didn't end on bad terms or anything crazy like that. So we will, he will still be a part of the show going forward. And it just, he just won't be on the weekly episodes. It'll be more like a in-person live kind of deal. So anyway, I wanted to get into talking a little bit about, so I had kind of a fall off the deep end the last couple of days, and let me explain to you why. So I want everybody to understand something, and I don't think a lot of people get this. And so the world is not your way or the highway. The world is not my way or the highway. But one of the beautiful things about being in America is that we have individual freedoms. The 14th Amendment protects us from being forced to take a vaccine that we don't want to take, or to take medication we don't want to take. And I think what you're going to start realizing and understanding is, as a lot of these lawsuits come about, because there are 27 states at this point that are suing Biden and fighting against the vaccine mandates. And there have already been multiple independent people that have fought and won. There's actually three nurses in New York State that sued their employers for being fired because of the mask mandates, and they won. So all you people out there that are on the left or on, you know, or on the side of or vaccine mandates, and who keep trying to say that, oh, mandates are you know, normal, and they're things that have been happening for years, and they're told perfectly legal and constitutional, they're not. And if they weren't, then they wouldn't be, especially in places like New York, where 90% of their legislative system is liberal-leaning judges. If that were the case, then these cases would be getting struck down, people would be losing in court, and it's not happening. So you can think what you want to think. The FDA just stood up against the booster shots, and their actual argument was that too many people are dying from the COVID from the Pfizer shot. Wow, they actually came out and said it. So it's wild, right? I posted something the other day, and I had an interaction with multiple people on my page because I had posted something, you know, talking about my stance, which if you follow me and listen to my show and you don't know my stance by now, then obviously I'm doing a bad job. But I got kind of beat up in my DMs by a couple people, and it all came to a head with multiple people telling me they hope I get the virus and die. They hope my family dies. They hope my children die. And one thing I want to say is that I am 6 foot tall, 300 pounds, okay? 285 pounds, 283 pounds. Well, forget exactly where I'm at right now, but I've lost a couple more pounds since I finished 75 hard. I'm just a hair under 6 feet tall. I'm like 5 foot something, you know, right there. And I say, you know, obviously, but are there bigger people than me in this world? Absolutely. But I'm a big motherfucker. And for any of you to say this shit, you would, like, I had a guy the other day, I won't dime him out and call him, but he's like, oh, I don't think you would call me a pussy to my face. Motherfucker, I will call anybody a pussy to their face. Now, am I going to call somebody a pussy just for being a liberal? No, that's not the point, right? And I made a post, and I kind of called leftists out. And the reason why, you know, is because typically with the leftists, especially on Twitter and other platforms, if you start giving them truth bombs and they don't want to hear what you have to say, they'll just block you. And most conservatives tend to not be as block heavy. You know, we're more willing to have a conversation before we get to the point. We usually don't block people until it gets to the point of like personal attacks and shit like that. And then eventually it's just like, all right, fuck it, we're done. So, and the reason why I'm, you know, bringing that up is because I had gotten essentially my ass handed to me by these liberals that were telling me they hope that I die, they hope that my family dies, they hope that my children die. And I'm sorry, but if you were in front of me, like if you were within, you know, 1 foot of me, I would rip your fucking head off and shove it up your ass. I would beat you into a bloody pulp. And if it meant leaving my kids without a father, then so be it. Like at the end of the day, I mean, you're not going to say shit like that to my face. It's one thing to type it over the keyboard because you think you're a keyboard warrior, but to start saying shit like that to somebody's face who can actually put their hands on you, I will fuck you up. Like that's just the way that it is, you know? And I think that's the part that leftists don't understand and don't realize is that you guys have been emboldened by the keyboard. You've been emboldened by social media. You've been emboldened by the ability to be able to have a conversation with somebody through electronic means and not have to worry about the consequences. So essentially more of you need to be punched in the fucking mouth to understand that there are consequences to your actions, there are consequences to what you vocalize and the stupid shit that you say. Because I have never once come out and said, oh, I hope anybody on the left dies. I hope all these people die. No, like that's not the case at all. Like I have family members who took the vaccine and it breaks my heart when I watch like Dr. Robert Malone, who's the guy who was one of the people that was the head on developing the mRNA technology, talking about how the people who got the vaccine are gonna be dead in 2 years. That breaks my heart. If that ends up happening and becoming true, then I have at least 5 family members that are gonna die, maybe more. And I hope that's not the case. I hope that it's that this whole shit is fucking propaganda and that eventually, listen, at the end of the day, I wish and hope that they come out with enough evidence to support the vaccine being, you know, something we should actually do. They are able to prove that people are not dying because of it, you know, whatever else. And more of us are able to think or believe that it is safe so that we can take it and move forward. Do I think the vaccine right now is the end all be all? No, because if you look at last September of last year, cases are 300% higher this year when everybody's got the vaccine than they were last year. Last year with no vaccine, we were doing great. We had almost eradicated COVID. And since they've started vaccinating people, the cases have come back 300%. Why? Countries like Israel, who are, they're one of the highest vaccinated countries in the world. COVID outbreaks out the ass, highest COVID cases in the entire world. It doesn't make any sense. You know, and you could say what you want to say, but I know people that I've spoken to that are friends of mine. I'm not going to say anybody's name because I don't have the freedom to speak about their specific issue, but I know someone very close to me that I've talked to on a weekly basis who got COVID and got through it at home with regular over-the-counter medication, didn't have to go to the hospital, didn't have any severe crazy reaction, had a fever, had the typical loss of taste and smell, had a cough, had whatever else for about 10 days and got over it and was good to go. Went and got the vaccine, got COVID again and ended up in the hospital. I was in the hospital for like 9 days. Why is it that he got COVID on and his immune system was able to fight it off at home with over-the-counter medication without even seeing a doctor or going to a hospital, but then he takes the vaccination and ends up being hospitalized? But yet they want us all to believe that the vaccine or the immunotherapy shot, as I like to call it, because at the end of the day, it doesn't even meet the criteria to actually be a vaccine. The very definition of vaccine is to create immunity from a pathogen. It doesn't give you immunity. You can still catch COVID, you can still spread COVID. So I find that to be the most ridiculous thing in the world. I mean, my daughter's school just had a case of COVID the other day, and the teachers came out and asked all the students, if you're vaccinated, show us your cards and you can stay, but the kids who aren't vaccinated all need to go home. Well, you do realize that the kids who have been vaccinated can still catch COVID and they can still spread COVID. So that doesn't really make any sense. You should be sending everybody home, right? I mean, that's whatever. So long story short, you know, I made this post and I got kind of, you know, this guy who, in a way, I could tell that he was kind of trying to soften, you know, things up. And he was like, look, you know, like, I think you're being a little aggressive, you know, da da da, whatever. And he, you know, one of the comments that he said is, he was like, oh, I don't think you would call me a pussy to my face. And I'm like, well, if I didn't have a reason, I'm not going to call you a pussy just for being a liberal. I'm a conservative, but it doesn't mean that I hate people who are liberal. That's not the point. I have friends that are liberals. We get along just fine. We agree to disagree. We have great conversation. We've had beers together and we've been fine. But if you're going to argue with me about vaccine mandates and shit like that, and you're going to get nasty with me or say or personally attack me or anything like that, then yeah, you're going to get a mouthful of fucking knuckles and you're not going to like it because I'm a big motherfucker that will hurt you. It is what it is. So, but I laugh because I get people like, you think I care about fucking followers on fucking social media? Like one of the things that he said to me, he's like, oh, you know, how about I'll keep following for now, but the next time you do a rant that I don't like, I'm going to unfollow the deal. And I'm like, whatever, man. Like, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You're going to follow me right fucking now. I really don't care. And then I posted the sign that they've been passing around that says, you know, we serve all people. We don't discriminate against, you know, race, sex, gender, sexual orientation, blah, 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 whatever, unvaccinated, vaccinated. And he responds to that, nah, LOL. You know, and I'm like, why are you following me? Like, at the end of the day, I don't fucking care. Like, unfollow me. It's that easy. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I really don't care. You know, like, this happens to be someone who's in the craft beer industry and does a very good job of what he does and actually has, you know, creates really quality products. But I couldn't help but laugh. It's gotten a little warm. Wow, it got a little warmer faster than I expected. But I think it's because I'm talking too much, one. And two, it's a little hot today here in Florida. So, but anyway, I can't help but laugh, you know, you will literally get leftists that will tell you that, like, he argued with me for hours over the fact that, well, you believe in personal freedom, but you don't believe that a bar owner has the freedom to make a rule that you have to be vaccinated to enter their bar. I was like, I believe in personal freedoms, but a bar or a business telling someone that they have to be vaccinated to enter their bar is a violation of your personal medical privacy, period. It is literally no different than saying, I don't want black people in my bar. I don't want white people in my bar. I don't want Hispanic people in my bar. But they'll say, no, it's not the same thing because it's a global pandemic. But it is the same thing because you're segregating people based on status. But in this case, it's medical status. And your medical freedom has always been protected. One of the things that he told me that he obviously failed to read any real paperwork on is that he said HIPAA is only for employment. I'm like, no, that's not the case. Because if HIPAA was only for employment, then anybody could ask you to see your medical records to enter any establishment. And that's not the case. They can't ask you for your medical records to enter into anything because it's violation of HIPAA. And I just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the fact that people who lean left or are left or whatever think they know what they're talking about because they see it on CNN. And one of the first things this guy told me, I don't watch the news. You don't watch the news, but yet you just told me that Florida is one of the worst in Florida or in the country when it comes to the COVID cases. Yet we're number 36 out of 50 when it comes to actual COVID cases right now. Go figure. Anyway. And then when he went to go try to find it himself so he could debunk me, he says, oh, I can't see anywhere where it's easy to find. And I just had to laugh. And, you know, and the funniest thing is I had actually started creating a list of breweries that were requiring vaccine mandates. And Instagram took it down. I actually got a thing from them saying that it violated community standards and they removed my highlight for violating community and my stories for violating community standards. And I was like, wow. I mean, I kind of appreciate the fact that they did that and didn't just wipe out my account, but, you know, it is what it is. So, and I still have people messaging me and they're like, hey, this beer store, this bar, this, that, this, this, you know. Freedoms are freedoms. There's no time when it's okay to take away our freedoms. And you can argue until you're blue in the face about it. You can say, Well, it's a global pandemic. Well, a global pandemic does not nullify the Constitution. Okay? And part of the Constitution, which is amazing, actually says that the government consists of men whose ability to govern is based on the consent of the people, consent of the governed. So if enough of us stand up and say we no longer consent to being governed, then we can very easily take back control of our government, because it's our government. The government does not control us. We control the government. And that's what I think a lot of people have failed to understand, a lot of people fail to realize, is that it's not, we the people have the power, not the 536 people that are in government. We the people have the power. And that's the part. And the crazy part is that's the part that scares the shit out of them. Look around the world right now. Look at Australia standing up and toppling the fucking, you know, lines of police officers that are, you know, trying to keep thousands of people back, and France and Germany and Italy and, you know, all kinds of places right now are standing up. South Africa are standing up against vaccine mandates and vaccine passports and all this shit. They're not going to win. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, our freedoms are our God-given freedom. Because if I were to go live at the top of a mountain and build a shack up there and just enjoy my life and hunt for my food and do whatever and leave everybody alone, for some reason, a leftist still thinks that I'm at risk to somebody, so they need to come find me and force me to take the vaccine. And that's not the case. You know, and I actually want to give people some marketing advice, right? I own a marketing company. That's what I do, right? And through multiple channels, we have done research and we have done polls. We have asked a lot of questions to see what people actually believe about a lot of this stuff. And when you as a company post a picture of a masked individual throughout a marketing campaign, whether it be an ad, whether it be just a post on social media, whatever the case may be, the connotation is negative. Doesn't matter if someone is pro-mask or anti-mask, the immediate registration in the brain is negative. Because even the people who want everyone to believe that they think we should all wear masks don't like them. And don't like seeing them, and don't like, so even though they're conforming because they're the type of people that are easily dissuaded by the government, they are the visualization of seeing somebody in a mask still triggers a release of hormones in the brain that causes them to think about a negative situation. So don't post that shit. If you're a company, and I don't care if you're pro-mask, anti-mask, if you're in a place that has a mask mandate or not, do not post any type of marketing material with a masked individual. It is not helping your company. You are losing business, you are losing potential customers, and you might as well post somebody, you know, flipping everybody off and saying, fuck you, we don't want your business. Because I promise you, you are not creating new customers by posting a picture of one of your employees or of your customers or anybody else wearing a mask. It derives a negative connotation within the human psyche, and it is costing you business. I promise you that. So stop doing it. Simple as that. It does not make sense. It is not going to do anything good for you, and you're making a mistake by doing it. And I say this after just seeing one of the breweries that I actually appreciate and like a lot, I think they're in Jacksonville. It's Intuition Ale Works actually just made a post about their, just made a post about a beer. I think I don't even think it was anything crazy. Like it wasn't even like a. It wasn't even anything, you know, crazy. It was literally just a post. but they posted a picture of like one of their employees like wearing a mask. And I commented on it. And I said, you know, my comment was, they probably deleted it. No, they actually didn't. Okay. I'm actually reading my comments. So I said, I love you guys, but as a marketing professional who actually owns a marketing company, posting with a mask only breeds negativity. Even in those who agree with masking, seeing it registers negatively in the brain, and the most common reaction is to scroll past. Regardless of the brand's stance on masks, it's simply a poor marketing decision to post this. Take with it what you will. I mean no harm, and I honestly care that you're losing business and or engagement by doing so. And I care. Most people would probably not give a fuck to even say anything. They would just scroll by. But because I actually know this brewery, I've been to this brewery, I spent a lot of money in this brewery multiple times, I give a shit, you know, and I don't want to see good breweries that, regardless of their stance, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, do I agree with a brewery requiring people to show proof of vaccination to have a beer? No, this ain't Nazi fucking Germany. And the fact that you left this one to keep saying, oh, why is it Nazi? Why is it this? Why is it that? It's a pandemic. I'm just like, dude, like seriously, at the end of the day, what drives me crazy is the use of the word pandemic. And, you know, let's go back to H1N1, right? H1N1 had just as many deaths, just as many infections. Was never even called a pandemic, right? The H1N1 vaccination was one of the last ones to be rushed to market, essentially. 39 deaths and about 5,000 adverse reactions, they pulled it off the market. COVID vaccinations are upwards of 15,000 plus deaths, 700 plus thousand adverse reactions. But they're still pumping them bitches out. Like, let's go, let's get that vaccination. And that's only the reported ones. Because how many people have actually gone to a hospital and never actually told this hospital staff that they were vaccinated, but died of a blood clot or a heart attack or whatever else? So they say the typical, like with the open bears, system, it's only about 10% actually gets reported. And if that's the case, then of the 15,000 people that are reported, that means about 150,000 that have actually died. Now, I don't know this to be true. I'm just going off of what I've been told and what I've read when it comes to the actual reporting. And if that is the case, and there's 700,000 adverse reactions, and only 10% are reported, that's 7 million adverse reactions. 7 million adverse reactions. And a hell of a lot more deaths than can actually be attributed to COVID alone. Because as it stands in the United States alone, we're at 630,000 deaths they want to proclaim from COVID, but only 6%, as the CDC has stated multiple times, have actually died of COVID. The other 94% have died with COVID. So we're only looking at about 35,000 to 40,000 deaths of COVID. Which is pretty on par with the flu. You know, normal flu numbers range anywhere from 25 to 40,000 a year. And we're about 36 to 40,000 over like, what, 19, 20 months? Makes sense, right? It'd be right around where the flu would be. And, but then to look at, 600,000 people died with COVID. And let's be honest, we can't even trust those numbers because the PCR tests were recalled. 400 million tests were recalled by the FDA for creating too many false positives. It was a stage one or level one recall, whatever their, you know, recall system is, which is the most serious recall that the FDA or, you know, any entity like that could ever do. So how do we know that is even remotely true? Because they've already come out and said there's no test for the variants. But they want us to believe that there's a delta, mu, a gamma, lambda, blah, 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 all these other variants. Then when you talk to real scientists, scientists are saying that the variants are coming from the vaccine. Okay. But if we can't test for them, how do we know the variants even exist? Then you get people who will say, well, the variant, we know the variants exist based on the symptoms. So the Delta variant supposedly has more cold-like symptoms, less flu-like symptoms, and it's a much easier variant to recover from. Less death, less issue, less hospitalization, everything else you can possibly imagine. If these motherfuckers haven't stepped on their tongue 25 times, I don't know how many times they have. Because at the end of the day, it's every chance they get, they're flip-flopping their decisions. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Wear 7 masks, wear, don't wear a mask. Wear 15 masks, if you're vaccinated, don't wear a mask. Now you're vaccinated, wear a mask. If you're vaccinated, if you're unvaccinated, you're a risk to the vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you're a risk to the unvaccinated. If you're unvaccinated, you're a risk to the grandmas and papas. If you're vaccinated, you're a risk to the grandmas and papas. Like, make up your mind, right? Science is obviously ever evolving. We get that. We understand the situation, and we understand that sometimes things change, and the nature of science in general is an evolving process. I get it, right? But I don't give a fuck what anybody says. This virus is not as deadly as people are trying to make it sound like it is. I've already caught so many contradictions myself. Went to the hospital recently, to one of the hospital that was supposedly the hot zone for Florida right now, or in Broward County where I'm at, which was Memorial West. I went there because before I got the injections in my back, I woke up one morning and I was in so much pain, I could barely walk, and I was just seeing stars and misery. Went to the hospital after being told by someone whose wife supposedly, quote unquote, worked there, that they had turned the cafeteria into a COVID ward and blah, 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 all the shit was going on. I go there, not even the case in the least. I talked to the nurse. She's like, no, we only have 3 COVID patients in the entire hospital. And at the end of the day, the reason why things are so spicy for us right now is because we have no help. We have no staff. So we are overwhelmed because we don't have enough people to help the people that are coming in. But the people that are coming in, 95% of them are regular emergency room patients. You know, if I fell off a ladder, I need stitches, I fucking broke a bone, I whatever. And the majority of people that were coming in with COVID, they would lose their taste of smell or something stupid would happen and they would freak out and go to the hospital. Oh my God, I'm gonna die. And they would just give them medication and send them home. Because the news is literally rallying people up to the point that it's making people believe that if they have a symptom, they're gonna fucking die, so they have to run to the hospital. Which is not the case. 99% of this you can take care of at home. Zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, magnesium, selenium. Tons of vitamins out there that you can take over the counter that will help you combat COVID unless you take a serious turn. Then you have medications like ivermectin, which we can't talk about because it's horse dewormer. Although it won the Nobel Peace Prize for use in humans in 2015. Go figure, right? Because it's an antiparasitic, people automatically assume it can't be good for something else. But countless amount of doctors and scientists have come forward and said ivermectin is a fantastic cure. They've literally used the term cure for COVID. Whatever, but it's cheap. So big pharma, no, come on. We want you on that fucking Regeneron, baby. We want you on that fucking, what's the other one that's killing everybody? It starts with an R too, not Regeneron, but there's something else that, Regeneron is a therapeutic, but there's a medication that starts with an R that I can't remember off the top of my head. That's $2,000 a dose or whatever, and it's killing people. But they're pushing that down our throats because they don't want to give you a pill that's $2 a pill. They want Big Pharma to get that $2,000 a shot. They want to put people on a ventilator and kill them so they can give the hospital $35,000 for every new COVID patient they get. or 60,000 for putting them on a ventilator, whatever the actual dollars and cents is. If you don't think that all this is, comes down to money, control, you got to get off that crack pipe, baby. I'm telling you right now, there's so much more to this. My wife has worked through this entire pandemic. She had 6 weeks off through the entirety of this, where her store was closed down because it was deemed unessential. 6 weeks out of all this, and she's worked the entire time. She's been around at least 25 people that she works with that have been COVID positive, worked side by side with them, never once gotten sick. I've not gotten sick. The kids have not gotten sick. My daughter was in the classroom with a kid who supposedly got it, like I said last week. She got tested. She was fine. I have high blood pressure. I'm fat. And I've lost 80 pounds, and I'm working on that right now, which you all know because it's 75 hard. But what? I mean, do I know people who have died from COVID? Yes. Right? A friend of mine, Todd, 42 years old. But the thing with Todd is I don't know his medical history. I don't know if he had any underlying conditions. I don't know. My thought process with Todd is this. I believe that Todd was one of those people who got more sick than everybody else, and he tried to fight it at home, waited too long, and by the time he went to the hospital, at the time it was still early in the COVID treatment process, and they didn't know how to treat him, so he was almost immediately put on a ventilator. The ventilator killed him. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but that's my opinion. Get this beer again. Ooh, the smell's gotten nicer as it's gotten a little bit warmer. That's why I always like to let beers heat cycle and go through different temperature ranges because the flavors change. It's gotten almost more of a candied citrus now that it's gotten a little bit warmer. So, anyway, I don't want to make this all about COVID. You know, I think a lot of us, we just want to go back to normal, man. Like, we just want to have a life again. I want to walk into a fucking grocery store and look around and not see 75 people in masks. I want to go to, you know, a sporting event and not worry about somebody asking me for my vaccination card, you know? And you can argue this with me and say, oh, well, if you would just get vaccinated, we would all be fine. But that's not the case. The vaccine is not the answer. If the vaccine were the answer, then it would provide immunity, period. Meaning we could get the shot and we would no longer be able to catch or spread COVID. That is not the case. Excuse me. In any way, shape, or form. It's not the case. I know, I want to almost laugh and say that just about everybody that I know, with the exception of my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, my wife's little sister and her husband, just about everybody else that I know who's gotten vaccinated has gotten COVID post-vaccine. Maybe my brother-in-law didn't get it, but I'm pretty sure my sister-in-law did. Okay. My pastor, his wife, his mom, his dad, all got it after being vaccinated. I don't know what to say. You know, like the only person right now that seems to me that they're doing better than everybody else, despite this whole, you know, we're being told that it was the worst one for blood clots and whatnot, is Johnson & Johnson, which has been pulled off the market. You can only get the Moderna or the Pfizer at this point in the United States, from what I understand. My mom got the Johnson & Johnson, had no adverse reactions whatsoever, but she's also got a bleeding disorder. So I wonder if that somehow counteracted that, whatever. But if you go and you do the research, the Johnson & Johnson is actually the only one that took the route of a traditional vaccine and doesn't actually use the mRNA technology. mRNA is only Moderna and Pfizer. And for those of you out there that are questioning all this, I want you to understand something. The Pfizer vaccine is not FDA approved. So stop listening to the fucking news box, the TV box, you know, Bo Jiden, He's lying to you. Read the actual paperwork, okay? The FDA extended the emergency use authorization of the COVID, of the Pfizer COVID vaccination until May of 2023, which is when they're expected to end their trial status. Comirnaty, which is the supposed to be a bioidentical version of the Pfizer vaccine produced by BioNTech, is provisionally approved, but unavailable. You can't get it. Nobody has it. It's not being readily made or readily available at this point. And as far as what I've seen so far, and this obviously could change, but what I've seen so far is that it's not scheduled for release until May of 2000, or it's not scheduled for release until 2024. But they did that on purpose so they could tell everybody was, that the vaccine was FDA approved. Fox told you that. CNN told you that. MSNBC told you that. CNN told you that. CNBC told you that. CBS, ABC, NBC, every news outlet on the planet told you it was FDA approved. The resident and thief told you that. Other people in government have told you that. But if you actually read the paperwork, that is not the case. The Pfizer vaccine that is currently available is not FDA approved. The EUA was extended until May of 2023. They provisionally approved Comirnaty, which is supposed to be a bioidentical version produced by BioNTech. How they could approve a vaccine that's not available, I will never understand, because it's not even something that they have any testing or any data on. But it is what it is. Because let's all have that conversation and remember that this is the same FDA that originally approved cigarettes and said the cigarettes couldn't hurt you, that you'd be fine. The same FDA that approved fentanyl, the same FDA that approved AZT, the same FDA that approved multiple other, you know, things that are out there right now that people are being sued for. You know, how many times, how often do you see a commercial on the TV that talks about a class action lawsuit being brought up against a, you know, a drug manufacturer because of all the adverse reactions they had from this drug? All of those drugs have been FDA approved. So the FDA approving something does not mean a fucking thing. It literally just means that they see enough risk, or they see that the reward outweighs the risk. And that's the reason why the FDA will go ahead and approve something, is because they look at it as being the reward outweighs the risk. So we're going to make, you know, $400 billion from this medicine, but we have the opportunity, we have the potential that 10 people will die and we'll have to pay them out $1.5 million or $2 million, so be it, it's worth it. And that's the truth. You know, it is what it is. So, but I just want to get back to life. I want to get back to freedom as we know it. No vaccine passports, none of this bullshit where people are requiring to see your fucking papers at the door. And if you don't agree with me, I don't fucking care. Right? It's okay. You don't have to agree with me. We don't have to see eye to eye. But if you're a leftist and you don't see that this is the same thing as separating whites from blacks, separating Hispanics, you know, from whites, separating gays and straights, if you don't see that, you have a fucking problem. Right? And I had somebody the other day, they're like, oh, well, my body, what happened to my body, my choice? And I'm like, well, what do you mean what happened to my body, my choice? I'm like, you're asking the wrong person. I think you're gay. I think you were referring this to somebody else. And they're like, no, well, you're saying my body, my choice for the vaccine, but what about abortion? Well, abortion's not, you're not talking about my body, my choice. You're talking about somebody else's body. Because although the baby is inside of the woman, it's another entity. It is another human being. It is a baby that is growing inside of a human, another human. It's inside their body, but it's physically another being that exists. So my body, my choice does not pertain to abortion because it's not your body. It is what it is. whereas My Body, My Choice pertains to the vaccine because it is that, and that is when it's relevant because it actually pertains to your body. But that would be like me saying, you know, if I have a friend of mine and we're walking around and we're hanging out and we're like, and I'm like, dude, like, I don't like you anymore. You should be murdered. Somebody should just kill you right now. It's the same thing as murdering a baby. Now, don't get me wrong. Are there extenuating? I am one of those rare conservatives that believes that in the issue of extenuating circumstances like rape, medical issues, things like that, there should be a choice that's given to the family. But I don't agree with the 98% of abortions that happen simply due to convenience. That you choose not to wear a condom, you choose not to use birth control, you choose to engage in premarital sex, unsafe premarital sex, you get pregnant, and then because you just don't want a baby, you know, you decide it's easy to just murder somebody. You have somebody at work that gives you a hard time and is stopping you from getting your promotion. Are you able to just walk in and put a gun to their head and blow their brains out? No. But guess what? That person is an inconvenience in your life, right? Because they're stopping you from getting promoted. They're stopping you from advancing your career. They're stopping you from moving ahead in life. But that baby is in your body. It's much easier to put the 9mm to your tummy and just pull the trigger, right? No, it shouldn't be that easy. But it is what it is. I'm not going to get into a debate about abortion, but I just find it amazing that people will look at this scenario and will fight tooth and nail about it being freedom for an establishment to require people to show medical records in order to be serviced. But legally you're not allowed to ask someone if they're a sex offender for them to enter your establishment. But there's 700+ thousand sex offenders registered in the United States right now. But legally, as a business, you're not allowed to ask somebody when they're walking in the door, are you a sex offender? You can ask somebody, are you vaccinated? And then you can refuse them service because they're not vaccinated. It doesn't make any sense. There's so many contradictions to this whole thing that make no sense. You know, one of the things that, like, the gentleman that I had the little argument with the other day, he's like, well, you could open a bar that's whites only, but I don't think you'd last very long. But my question is not, can I? My question is, would you support it if I did? No. Okay, it's answered your own fucking question. If I opened a bar what if I opened a bar as a white man that was blacks only? I only like black people. I don't want white people in my bar. You cool with that? He didn't answer. He never gave a response to that question. Because as a random white Las Vegas liberal fuck, he's not gonna come back and say, no, you can't have a bar that's blacks only. He's not going to say that because he doesn't want to be on record saying something like that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, man. We're Americans. Unification should be the most important part of all this. We should all be standing together. We should all be standing with one another. The jab has nothing to do with white or black. Hispanic or Asian has nothing to do with with our race, our heritage, the color of our skin, nothing. It has to do with us being Americans and having freedom, period. Your decision, you should be able to make your own decision of whether you want to be vaccinated for a disease with 99.985% overall survivability rate. It makes no fucking sense. You can still get the fucking virus and pass it on. But they want to tell you that it increases your survivability rate by 25 times. Guess what that actually equates to? It increases your survivability rate from 99.985% to 99.999%. I'd much rather take the 99.985% chance and not put a foreign substance in my body that I don't trust, I don't believe in, and I'm not comfortable with taking, then take it just to have that extra minute percentage that I'll survive. Sorry, that's just how I feel. So y'all, I didn't want this to be completely a vaccination centered show, but unfortunately that's the way that we went. So I appreciate y'all, and hopefully this shit starts fucking clearing out soon and we can actually start talking about more important shit like beer. But I'm glad that I got some good beers on this show, and I'm glad that I got to share them with you guys, and I really, really look forward to more depth of content going forward. So appreciate y'all. Take it easy. Peace in the Middle East. I'm out. Well, shit, I should not have said that. Peace. I love you guys. Cheers.